Hi guys, welcome back to this week's episode of Millennial Mirrors. This one is a bit of a weird one for me to edit because we recorded it before quarantine and before COVID, so my energy levels and my headspace was definitely very different back at that time. So this episode is with Chef Khalid. Part one is of course about him, and we're talking about kind of his journey from starting a grilled cheese sandwich stall to all the way, you know, studying under world famous chefs, to then representing the UAE in Paris, and now working in the restaurant industry. So it's quite an interesting story to hear about. And from there, we go on to talking about how important it is to continue growing as a person in part two. So listen in, and I hope you enjoy. Hi, Chef Khalid. Welcome to the podcast. Can I call you Chef Khalid, by the way?
Yeah.
Just checking. I wasn't sure. All right, so we're going to start with the first question we ask everyone, which is to tell us their story. So what's the story of Chef Khalid?
I've said this story many times, so yeah. It kind of feels like it's rehearsed in a way, you know what I mean? But I'm going to try as much as possible to keep it as candid as I can. So basically, my name is Khalid. I'm Abu Dhabi, 29 years old. I started my career in the culinary industry about 4 to 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I used to be a very heavy kid, so I was right. 150 kilograms. And in the process of losing my weight, I was just trying as much as possible to learn how to make healthy meal plans for myself. Mm-hmm. And it involved obviously a lot of YouTube and Google back then.
Yeah.
And since I have a day job, I wasn't able to go into a culinary school.
Right.
I just really depended mostly on the instructions of Google and YouTube. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've had so many burnt meals and so many raw meals, but eventually I managed to learn how to operate my way around the kitchen.
But that's great, because I mean, I tried to learn how to cook and I burned meals and I served meals raw. And then within 2 months, I gave up and I was like, you know what? Deliveroo is here for a reason. So, Deliveroo, if you're hearing this, like, sponsor the podcast, just saying. Anyway, go on.
So, I mean, yes, me too, please. Right, so,
Deliveroo, sponsor us.
So basically, it was a very slow and long process. Mm-hmm. And it did take a lot of time for me to get the knowledge to be able to work my way around the kitchen. And in the process as well, I thought about investing in a project where I would be able to at least make, something out of the knowledge that I had.
Yeah.
And I thought, why not start a simple but delicious concept? So I wanted to make grilled cheese sandwiches. So it was just something that I thought was missing here in the UAE. And of course, studying abroad in the States, I used to make grilled cheese sandwiches all the time. And it's something that almost every house makes, but yeah. You would never think of taking it to a commercial level.
Now, personally, like when you told me the story, I was like, that's genius. First of all, if you're out and about and you see a grilled cheese sandwich like station, you're going to stop and have a grilled cheese sandwich.
Exactly,
yeah, like, I mean, you can't help yourself. The gooey cheese. Like, yeah, no. Good call,
so, yeah,
I think.
So I was, you know, I just thought that I'm just going to keep it simple, but pay attention to the quality of the products that I was going to serve. So I got some nice sourdough bread, you know, proper cheese, nice butter. And I just
What did your personal trainer think? Well, I thought you were supposed to be on a health kick, and then you go and start serving people grilled cheese sandwiches.
So what happened was, after I lost the weight, you know, alhamdulillah, I reached a point where my metabolism had, you know, been a bit forgiving, you know. And, I used to make them, but I wasn't necessarily eating lots of the sandwiches I would make. And it was very tempting, you know.
Okay.
And, yeah, it was just a very fun way to get to interact with people and, you know, get to hear their feedback on the food that I would make, as opposed to just me cooking for myself at home.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And it was just in that business, I was able to meet a lot of interesting people. And it was actually the gateway where I was able to connect with the Ministry of Culture, mm-hmm. who had decided to take me away with them to Paris and represent the UAE on a cultural aspect where food was considered art. I thought that why not? And obviously, I said yes, not knowing the level of food that I was supposed to make. So I thought, well, this is Paris after all, so I'm not going to go there and make grilled cheese sandwiches. If I'm going to go
even though I think that would still be a great idea, but continue.
But, you know, I mean, it was the caliber of guests that was present at the time. So I was thinking, if I'm going to do something in Paris, I might as well go into fine dining now.
Right.
And if I was going to be taken seriously, I wanted the food that actually represent the UAE in a more refined way, as opposed to the traditional ways.
Gotcha.
Of, you know, Emirati food,
right,
where you would see everything on a big plate with the big head of, you know, a goat's carcass, you know.
In,
so
in France, that would be not good.
Exactly. So I'm so grateful that a French chef who is currently working in a restaurant in Atlantis, The Palm, his name is Chef Grégoire Berger. He's a French chef who has a Michelin background.
Right.
He generously opened his kitchen for me and taught me almost everything that I needed to
learn.
For
like 6 months, right?
Yeah. So I really just wanted to learn how to pull this off in Paris. And because I did a good job there, when I came back from Paris, the Atlantis team, actually the HR team there, his name is Ahmed. He was very happy with the results that we did in Paris, that he opened the rest of the outlets for me in Atlantis to learn more about different types of cuisines. After that, I went into Nobu, and that's where I was able to learn Japanese cuisine.
Okay.
I went into Hakkasan, and that's where I was able to learn Chinese cuisine.
Wow.
Went into Bread Street Kitchen, and that's British cuisine, mostly international cuisine, basically. It's the famous restaurant by Gordon Ramsay.
Right.
And I also worked in the steakhouse Seafire. So to me, that was my culinary school.
Okay,
Since I never really had gotten the opportunity to go to a culinary school. I was literally just thrown in the kitchens straight up.
Without, on the job training.
Exactly. Yeah. And honestly, it was the best thing that ever happened for me, to teach me how to work with all these different cuisines hands-on, as opposed to just theoretical and, you know, just watching videos on YouTube, you know, and following recipes from Google.
That's amazing, but it's also a lot of work because you live in Abu Dhabi and you had to drive every single kind of, every day after work, you drive to Atlantis and start working in a kitchen.
I mean, there's a saying, I'm pretty sure it's a bit cliche now, but if you want it bad enough, you'd make it happen. So for me, I really wanted to learn as much as possible, mostly from my own.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think about commercial opportunities, you know, or business opportunities in the industry. At the time, I was just interested to find out more about all these different cuisines. I would literally finish my day job, change in the car, and I'd be in the kitchen. So I would start my day off, especially at the time. It was very difficult to go to the gym after work. So I would have to schedule it before I go to work in the morning. And then I would go to work after my day job would end. I would be on my way to Dubai. In the parking lot of Atlantis, I would change into my chef's outfit and I would go into the kitchens. It was pretty challenging because of the trip, and I had an SUV back then, so you can think about the gas.
Yeah, the gas.
You know,
cost of that alone.
Cost, exactly. But alhamdulillah, yani, it yielded great results for myself, and this is an ongoing journey where you can't say really any no to learning more about how to work with different ingredients, different cuisines. There are so many recipes that I haven't tried yet. This process gave me the confidence to approach different cuisines without having to hesitate or worry about the result.
Here's what I find fascinating. Okay, as someone who hates cooking, I'll be very honest with you. I hate it. I don't cook. I haven't cooked in maybe 3 years. 4 years, 5 years. Actually, I don't know, but it's been years. What makes you go from not cooking to trying to learn to cook for yourself because you were going through a weight loss journey to fall in love with cooking? What made you fall in love with it as like a
It's basically the you know, being able to make a dish that is made the way that it was intended to be, you know. Yani, if you're gonna buy a piece of chicken breast, mm-hmm. and then you end up burning it, obviously, mm-hmm. you'd be for me personally, I'm very competitive.
Right.
It can be annoying because I can sometimes keep working on something and it can take up most of my time, even
right.
though I have other priorities that I need to go to. But
yeah.
because I started something and I'm very stubborn with it, I would
okay.
continue working on it until I get it right. That is what I started with. But then it just became
a passion.
A passion. Yeah, basically the sense of accomplishment when you end up with a dish that tastes nice and is made the way that it was supposed to be. It's just a very
satisfying
feeling.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you think that's where I went wrong? I just didn't keep going until I achieved that dish that actually tastes good.
Yeah.
I got to the point where it tastes
another,
bad.
Another cliche saying is, you know, like, practice makes perfect. But, you know, in this case, it actually, I can't say perfect, but at least, you know, yeah, we were or the process made me, you know, close to perfecting
mm-hmm.
almost the ingredients or all of the ingredients that I got to work with. Alhamdulillah, yani, I'm very happy with the process. And
so what was the hardest part of your journey, would you say, out of this whole kind of...
Balancing my schedule, actually, because I've come to a point where, you know, yani, it's just everything gets backed up.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really considered all the opportunities that I'd be getting. So just trying to balance my day job and balance, a restaurant, which I own right now in Abu Dhabi in partnership with my partner, Ali Al-Mazrui, who's also an entrepreneur
right.
In Abu Dhabi. So just being able to balance my time, I would say that is the main challenge. I'm not going to say that it's something that I've noticed to be impossible.
Right.
It's just challenging, but we're, you know, constantly just trying to manage that.
So day job, then restaurant. Where does like personal life and the rest of it kind of go into play?
You try as much as possible to prioritize it and,
yeah.
you know, schedule it in as much as possible. But obviously, certain things have a different weight in your life that
mm-hmm.
you tend to prioritize over certain things.
What was the reaction like when you showed up at the market with your stall and started making grilled cheese sandwiches, like from friends and family and stuff like that, as someone?
There was a lot of resistance.
Okay.
You know, I ended up graduating, alhamdulillah, from the States with
mm-hmm.
a double major in finance and accounting.
Okay.
So it has nothing to do with this field.
Right.
And when I came back, I got a very good job in
mm-hmm.
that field.
Right.
And everyone used to think that it was just a phase, you know, where I would just go into this line of work and I would be bored of it at one point and just, you know, go back to focusing on my career.
Right.
To this day, I actually have people who think that it's just a phase. It was very surprising that it was an issue of the gender that would support me. I received a lot of support from the female gender as opposed to from the male gender. So it wasn't something that I even thought that was notable or noteworthy until
okay.
actually any years passed. And I've seen that most of the opportunities that I've gotten
mm-hmm.
were through women, and not necessarily in the industry. But I actually saw that they were more understanding of the struggle, resistance
mm-hmm.
that a male chef or an Emirati male chef might be going through,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to guys who just thought that I was in this to get attention. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
So it was really different the way that it was perceived. You know what I mean? And I did get, I'm not going to generalize 100%,
yeah.
but some yani were also supportive, like my close friends. Obviously, right. They were telling me, you know, yani Nebula X, you're doing a great job. You know, keep going. You never know what you might end up achieving in mm-hmm. this profession. So keep going. But most of the opportunities I got, and even the partnerships, yani like the restaurant I own in Abu Dhabi, my partner is a woman. I was given that space through a woman who worked in the Ministry of Youth. The first lady who ever opened her kitchen for me to work or to learn from, she was an entrepreneur in Abu Dhabi who owned a restaurant in Abu Dhabi, and she was also a chef. And then other than that, the lady that gave me the opportunity to work in the youth hub in mm-hmm. Dubai was also a woman. And the girl that called me for the first event with the Singaporean ambassador was a woman. The lady that actually waived all the fees and all the charges for me to first debut in Ripe Market yeah. was also a woman. Wow. So you see, like, all these things that happen.
Do you think it's because they understand what it feels like to try to do something and get resistance because of your gender or because you're not what would normally be perceived as the type of person who would do that role or job?
I don't know how many women, you know, would be listening to this, but let's face
a
it.
A lot.
They're just nicer, okay?
Okay. Yeah, so... Guys, why are you so mean? Why are you so mean to other guys trying to cook and be chefs?
No, but I'm saying, like, I think that also, you know, it's also a cultural thing.
Yeah.
The guys who were heading the restaurants that I worked in mm-hmm. in Atlantis were all male chefs. And
right.
they were all super nice. You know, they were all expats
right.
who were in this industry a long time before I tried to understand it.
Right.
And come into it. I think it was a cultural barrier at the beginning mm-hmm. where culturally people weren't really ready for something like this or to accept chefs in general. I don't want to say male chefs or female chefs because they're both actually lacking in this industry. In the UAE, there aren't many female or male chefs.
Okay.
And if someone would go into this profession, it would be mostly to make traditional Emirati food, you know?
Gotcha.
So for someone to go in and try as much as possible to go against the traditional methods and try and make more progressive dishes that are Emirati inspired,
mm-hmm.
it's a little different. You know
gotcha.
What I mean? So I still get people calling, requesting for, you know, traditional Emirati food. And when you tell them that, for example, a plated biryani dish looks a specific way, they're saying, you know, things like, that's not how my grandma used to make it, you know? And when you hear things like that, that's not the intended direction that I was going for. So
I ain't your grandma.
Exactly, you know? So... It's just a challenge,
yeah.
but it's not a challenge that's big enough for me to stop doing what I'm doing.
So what's the end goal? What's the dream?
The dream is ultimately to make awesome food constantly in a sustainable way.
So is it to have like your own, to have your own restaurant that you're kind of working in full time?
If you want to talk about credibility, it mm-hmm. would be obviously getting a Michelin star.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
yeah, getting a Michelin star in this profession is the ultimate credibility that, you know, you can basically show to everyone mm-hmm. and go against everything that they might say or doubt in terms of what you can do.
Gotcha.
That is just ultimately every chef's dream. Since I also have a career and a day job that I'm very keen on growing as well.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that in this profession or in this line of work as a chef, I just want to make awesome food and I want it to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
I want to constantly challenge myself in terms of new ways of approaching ingredients and figuring out how to send this message across that, you know, you can make awesome food, make at home using anything and locally sourced ingredients.
Okay. So the topic we're going to be talking about today on the next part of this episode is why it's so important to always keep growing as a person. What makes you the right person to talk to about that?
For me, I mean, you know, yani being a chef is a constant journey, especially mm-hmm. when you are working with a menu that you're constantly changing. We might be making, you know, to give a simple example, I might be making a pizza mm-hmm. a specific way, but there might be a better way to make it.
Right.
And then once I achieve that better way, there might be an even better way to achieve that. So then you just keep on going
mm-hmm.
until you hit a spot where you feel like, all right, so this is the best it can be. Then you start thinking about other things. Like, for example, what are the ingredients that I'm putting on this pizza? Are they sustainable? Yes or no? What kind of cheese am I putting on this pizza? And you keep, in the process, growing.
Okay. And you also, I mean, you came from zero cooking knowledge to a lot of cooking knowledge very quickly. So I think that's also another thing that we have to add.
From the weight that I used to be, you know, at, I used to love food and then now I'm making it. So yeah, and it's basically a transition, you know. I mean, I don't necessarily eat as much now
mm-hmm.
as I used to, but it's just because I'm more content now about eating as much food as I used to. So before, it was like this, you know, gap that I used to fill with food.
Right.
And now it's just, if it's enough to nourish my body, it's enough to keep me going. I don't have to keep eating more.
Makes sense.
So yeah. So it's just what we get to work with now and how we get feedback from our guests. It's always interesting to hear the thoughts that they have on the ingredients that we use. That also is helping us constantly grow.
Right. The feedback loop.
Yeah.
Super cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode, Chef Khaled.
Thank you for having me. Thank
you. Thanks to everyone for listening. You guys can find all the links to where to find out more about Chef Khaled in the episode description. You can also hear the rest of our discussion about growing as a person on Wednesday. So make sure to subscribe wherever you're listening if you're not already, so you do not miss anything. As always, I love your comments and messages, so keep them coming. This is Mshai Darnazi signing out. Bye, guys.